You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are discussing the U.S. men's national team. They are playing friendlies again. We're getting closer to the Olympics, to the Nations League, to the World Cup qualifiers, and we're getting a little bit nervous. Also, Ted Lasso, soccer, wins a Golden Globe, finally.
And we might have something to do with it. Who knows? Plus, we also talked to absolute Hall of Famer, 99, a World Cup winner, gold medalist for the Olympics. Absolutely incredible. Brianna Scurry is on our show today. Yeah, and it's incredible. Wait till you listen. There's so many fun stories. I wish we could have talked to her for hours. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Let's do it. Okay. All right. Another week. My puppy's in the background. Okay.
Just freaking out because they could even hear me through your headphones.
Thrilled about today's show. Hello, everybody. We have an incredible guest. Soccer legend.
Legend. Another superstar. Hall of Famer. World Cup winner. Olympic gold medal winner. What more do you want?
Okay. And that's just our resume.
No.
Brianna Scurry, goalkeeper, obviously one of the 99ers, coming through to join the Cooligans today. Just absolutely insane.
Which is us. We're the Cooligans. Isn't that crazy?
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever existed.
That's right. Also happens to be the Gulliest. Also happens to be Brianna's favorite show of all time.
That's right. She said it. She told us. All right. Don't be quoting, but just believe it.
Yeah. Okay? Also, do not look that up. I mean, there's just no need to.
So absolutely thrilled. I think we should start. Speaking of U.S. soccer in general, let's talk about we just got the news. We have some more U.S. men's national team friendlies coming up. This is an official FIFA window. It's feeling real. World Cup qualifiers. Okay. Nutmeg is excited.
Excited. All right. He knows that this is going to be like probably a preview of what our real 11 is going to look like in the next major competition that we're going to be in.
Yes.
Which do you know what that is, Christian?
I mean, the Olympics is the next major competition. Okay. But thank God. I hope I passed the test that you gave me.
But also shortly after that, the World Cup's coming up,
folks.
The
World Cup. Yes, that is a major competition. I've heard of it. It's starting to feel a little bit more real, right? The first match is going to be against Jamaica.
On March 25th in Austria. That's right. The U.S. versus Jamaica. In Austria.
Yeah. It's the EU and the Western
Hemisphere.
Well, the EU and also like where to play matches in general. It's just like it's Austria and Florida, right? Like this is where if you need to play a soccer game and under any circumstance,
we've designated those two areas as soccer specific statehood spaces.
We'll make it work for you. Okay?
We're playing Jamaica and Austria, and you want to hear the trippy thing? The second game. We're playing Austria and Jamaica, dude. That's going to be crazy.
It's going to be pretty interesting. Why make it that way?
There's no need for any of this.
The second match, I believe, is against Northern Ireland.
Yeah, and that's going to happen in Belfast.
In Belfast, yeah, that's correct. So, a lot to look forward to. And then now we'll see these rosters should look a little bit more like what we should, you know, what we may expect for an actual like World Cup qualifier and then the actual World Cup. It'll be some domestic based players and some of the players that are based in Europe and around the world. So
of the domestic players, I think we've already seen like a really good group of them over the last few friendlies that we've had. So I honestly think it's going to be mostly European based players. But you are going to get your sprinkling of the players that did the best from the domestic league.
Yeah. And anybody that crosses your mind that might be able to make it, get a domestic call up?
I honestly think Tanner Tessman might, just because of how he fits in both skill-wise and size-wise into the club. Into the club, into the national team.
I think Greg Berhalter will probably pick someone like some more veteran leadership. So I think Sebastian Legette is like the one.
He does
of the
seem
more
like
likely,
a standard like, pick. Yeah,
yeah. I've been with the program for a while, and some of these dudes are a lot younger. So, but I think Sebastian Legette has a good chance. So, but the one interesting thing, at least about Jamaica, is Mikel Antonio of West Ham has changed. Allegiances. He will now. He obviously English. He played for the English national team. He's using his one-time switch to play for Jamaica now. So this is Jamaica's going to look a little bit different going forward. So it's not going to be just like Darren Maddox up front. All right, and Mikel Antonio is scoring goals right now in the Premier League.
At a different level. Yeah.
With all due respect to Darren Maddox, I don't mean. I'm not trying.
Please throw as much shade as you want on Darren Maddox. As long as, let's just hope that Mikel Antonio's paperwork isn't completed by the time this match happens. Because what are we, 16? It says here we're 16-3-8 against Jamaica all the time. Mikel Antonio is a significant player up front. Very yes. difficult to deal with for Premier League defenders, never mind U.S. men's national team defenders who don't play with each other all the time. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough matchup, but I'm excited to see it,
Very much so. Yeah, there's that, and then we'll see what Northern Ireland, I don't know. Does Northern Ireland have a credible team? I don't know who comes out of there.
When they pick up the ball and fall on it outside the touchline, we'll see if these boys are prepared to play soccer and not rugby.
With all due respect to Northern Ireland. Yeah,
no shade at Darren Maddox, but Northern Ireland ain't gonna. I don't think they're gonna bring the pain. But I think it is gonna be fun to see how this team puts up with someone who's a national team that's probably going to defend heavily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how do you break that down? I think that's a good opportunity to play these guys. Plus, it's a good rebound.
We'll need it. There's a couple other important dates for the U.S. men's national team. Okay. Nutmeg is thrilled about it. There's going to be Nations League. Obviously, is coming up before the Olympics, and then
the Gold Cup.
The obviously Gold Cup, but then so World Cup qualifiers. I mean, they're going to be here real soon. September 8th or September 5th will be the first World Cup qualifier. So it's going to get real. Now it's getting the giddiness, the nerves of like, all right, did Berhalter had a couple of years to kind of sort this out? If that first World Cup qualifier does not go well, soccer Twitter is...
it's just going to go off from that point. Told you, yada, yada, he doesn't belong here. Jurgen was right. Yeah. No one's going to say that.
Because all the friendlies and, defeating, who did we play last? We beat them like 7-0 or whatever.
Trinidad.
Trinidad. Though feels great,
Yeah.
But then it's, you're like there. People are optimistic about what it's gonna look like. And Berhalter, I think he knows what he's doing and all this other stuff. But bruh, once that real game, that first real World Cup qualifier, if it does not go well, it is it's not gonna look good on the internet.
The media is gonna do a switch on him.
The media, meaning us.
Okay? Yeah, that's right. We're no longer friends. I heard him say pork roll. But let's talk a little bit about the Golden Globes because that just happened, and soccer was front and center. Okay, maybe not front and center, but soccer was mentioned. And that's a huge deal.
Look, I mean, for someone to win an award based on a show about soccer.
We won?
We won. there must have been some oversight. but no, this is, it is pretty cool. Jason Sudeikis winning the Golden Globe for Ted Lasso. If you haven't seen Ted Lasso, check it out. It's super fun. Even if you're not a fan of soccer, it's a really fun show. My girlfriend is not as obsessed with soccer as we are, but she watched the show and was super into it. It has everything.
My wife could care less about soccer and she loved it.
Yeah. She tells you all the time, get a different line of work, Alexis. I don't respect you.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. I mean, the fact that she writes it down, really, and also, why did the person at Baskin Robbins put that on my cake? You know what I mean? I feel like you should have known. I think it's going to ruin his birthday, but no, she doesn't. No, but I mean, she really doesn't care about soccer and she loved the show. The show is more than the fact that it's based in soccer. almost has nothing to do with the show, but it does sort of revolve around that world. And I actually think, to some degree, it's been the best ambassador for Americans to potentially like soccer in a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. This is how you have to indoctrinate Americans with the sport. You have to put it in, like, in, you know, wrap it. It has to be like the medicine wrapped in, like, candy. So that's why Ted Lasso is.
Like how you feed a dog. You put the pill in the meat, right? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, yeah, dude. So,
like, I eat a burger, and I'm like, why was it crunchy? My wife's like, no reason.
It's just your heart medication, babe.
I'm asleep.
the one thing that was interesting about him accepting the award is that he did not expect to win the award. I think that was pretty obvious. He's wearing a hoodie. He looks pretty.
Which, did you hear the hoodie sold out in every size?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Okay, yeah,
it's
a
$110 hoodie. It's not a cheap one.
Okay, this NWSL hoodie was much more affordable. All right, why didn't he wear this? But he looked like he was a little bit stoned as well. It was pretty dope. He was just like, yo, I'm just... who cares? This is the Golden Globes. I'm at home. We're doing this virtually. I'm going to be...
I think he was a little stoned because his acceptance speech was, no way! What?
I think he thought, or everybody thought that it was Eugene Levy that was going to win for
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Rami Youssef was one of the nominees, our homie Rami.
Comedian Rami, who's worked with both of us. I went to his house for an Ishtar.
For what? Which is...
Ishtar, it's the end of their fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wifey and I got invited to his house for that. I'm like, this is weird. We're the only non-comedians there. The only comedians there.
All right. No, yeah, I wouldn't call you a comedian either.
Yeah, thank you. Well, again, you've got to stop listening to my wife.
She's just so influential. I see you.
Because she keeps getting these cakes, you know? Who's making these cakes?
So I'm excited about... I know Ted Lasso is getting another season, and there's
supposedly two. I think it's been renewed for two more seasons, which it should. It is an incredible show outside of the world of soccer. Absolutely well-written show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is... Ted Lasso will go in the canon of soccer-related, you know, shows because they usually don't go well. They're usually all bad. The one that was... what was the Netflix one? About the Montreal Impact?
Something 21.
Thunder 21. Thunder was it?
Yeah.
But that was a rough one, okay?
That was a rough one.
I watched the whole thing because I'm like, you know what? I do a TV show about soccer. I'm going to sit through this. And,
and you're like, oh, okay, no. Back to Club de Cuervos because this is not going correct.
That was a rough one. So I'm excited about, also congrats to Jason Sudeikis, our friend.
Yeah, who listens to the show?
Yeah. Okay. So
he said he's gully. We should play the video.
All right. We've been very influential of Jason Sudeikis and Ted Lasso, and this feels a little bit like...
Wait, do we have something to do with it?
I think we all, on behalf of everyone at Ted Lasso, yes, we will accept the Golden Globe for
it. We should be like a trophy in soccer. We should be allowed to have it for like a week or so. You know, show our friends and family, drink out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like the Stanley Cup. Give us a piece of it, all right? Yeah. And make sure to stick around. We will be talking to Brian Escurry, 99er, women's national team legend. Okay, speaking, obviously, Brian is... a new owner of one of the owners of the Washington Spirit. Yep. And let's talk about NWSL ownership, because this is another, just big news, just more big news coming out of NWSL. The Chicago Red Stars have announced a new ownership or more investors that are going to be involved with the team. And I mean, there's a bunch of big names, but one of the major names there has to be Sarah Spain of ESPN. So now... it's interesting because the journalists are becoming owners. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Okay.
Our biggest fear. All right.
Yeah, there's a cat in the mousetrap. I don't know what the phrase is there. There's something there, but, it's a big list. It's like 16 people now that are owners. And Sarah Spain tweeted this out saying, finally, like, I'm so happy that I can announce this. She said, this is not an ownership group and just investment or just name. We're a committed group of people with Chicago ties and deep fandom who are hands-on and ready to help elevate this team with a group of badass women. Now, Chicago ties and hands-on already got me scared, okay? Because we know how it goes down out in Chi-Town. But here's the thing. It's 17 people. Maybe you all don't have to be hands-on. This seems like a lot of people.
No, this is exciting. Because, I mean, especially with Sarah Spain in particular, I mean, there are few people in the media world that not only show support for women's sports, but take on, I mean, she fights the battles as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, literally.
The amount of ridiculousness that she has to deal with on social media.
She's well-equipped to clap back.
Exactly. You know. I mean,
Chicago.
She did play basketball, so she's familiar with dunking on fools, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's ready for it. And that's part of the essence of women's soccer moving forward is that we're done. And not that they ever did, but like, we're gonna be even bigger. Like, if you try to come at us with some garbage, with some, you know, hatred, we're gonna be even bigger when we do clap back. And I think that's kind of, it's helping the appeal, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, we're done with the nice game, okay?
Yeah. And you're seeing a lot of these high profile, just like bigger names in being involved in women's soccer with Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, everything going on with Angel City, Natalie Portman, and all these people. We're seeing that, you know, I think NWSL is where MLS was maybe like 15 years ago, where the tide was turning, right? The as far as like people seeing like the actual potential, and everybody's getting in early. So now this is why you're seeing everybody getting involved, because by the time the World Cup, the 2026, this is going to help men's soccer. This is going to help women's soccer. The fact that the World Cup is going to be played here,
it's going to be huge for the sport.
Everybody wants to get involved in that kind of the explosion.
And try to buy an NWSL team after that. Try. Yeah, yeah. You're going to need three times. It's like buying 5 Bitcoin now. Well, I hope you got money. Okay. Back in the day, that was 7 cents.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, you thought I was just a dumb, you know, loser nerd virgin buying up all this Bitcoin.
Well, he was, but he was smart enough to buy the Bitcoin.
What can I say? Okay. Yeah.
Well, you were tired from having ejaculated Christian and still all that energy.
I still haven't sorted out the loser nerd version stuff, but I'm getting there. Okay? Yeah.
Maybe a new Tesla will make you feel better.
This is an exciting move, and I think we're going to start to see this with the older NWSL teams. I think they're seeing what like Angel City's doing. They're like, okay, well, I don't want to be left out of the news. Okay,
yeah,
I need a high profile owner as well.
Everybody, even like Rob Mikulhaney and Ryan Reynolds, they bought a team in Europe. That's old school, baby. You got to buy an NWSL team. Speaking of an investor and owner of an NWSL team, right after this, we've got Washington Spirit owner and Hall of Famer 99er Brianna Scurry. Come back. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you. And by you, I mean Gully Squad. What an absolutely incredible group of human beings. I've learned so much. It has so enriched my life to have this community of people. You guys are American soccer fans. You guys understand it. You know what we go through. And what better place for you guys to communicate than the Slack channel that we built for Gully Squad. And let me tell you something. I had no idea this many dope people loved American soccer. We have everything from a Rate My Pizza, where I get to roast your pizza, to you guys have pet communications, music. You guys do an MLS pick'em when the season is going. You have a beer, wine, and liquor channel just to learn about different, different things to make you feel a little better at the end of the night. You got a coffee channel, which I learned how to make cold brew from that. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, what would I be doing? Have a lower heart rate? Maybe. But then I wouldn't have all this energy to do this commercial. So if you guys aren't a member of Gully Squad and you want to join, all you have to do is go to soccercooligans.com/GullySquad, soccercooligans.com/GullySquad, or just go to shoutstous.com. Join now. All right, baby, and welcome to the Cooligans Living Room FC. We are back, and our guest is here, and Christian, we are. I mean, we've got a legend in the house.
Okay.
And by in the house, I mean in a box remotely, but still.
Yeah. More than 6 feet apart.
We're social distancing, right? And frankly, I feel like if we weren't and I kicked the ball, she'd still save it. You know what I mean? Right? This is incredible. One of the 99ers. I mean, this is
a moment that
changed the history of American soccer for so many people, not just the young women that watched, but so many people.
That's right. This, I think this is our second 99er. Obviously, we have Michelle Akers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at you, Christian, remembering stuff. All right. I got
one at a time.
On
we're getting through all of them.
but this is absolutely, you know, amazing. It's one of the few people who I could honestly say, if you give me a rocket, you know, a rocket launcher, and I shoot a soccer ball out of it 10 times, she might stop at least 3 of them. You know what I mean? She's absolutely incredible. You know, I've heard her call things like the wall, you know? You remember her, obviously, from the amazing save against China in the 99 World Cup. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Pull your car over. Come on. Put that bad boy in park. Pull up the e-brake so nothing happens. And put your hands together for the one, the only, Brianna Scurry, everybody!
Brianna, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. You guys are hilarious.
Thank you.
All right.
We got what we wanted. Shut the show down.
All right. I see. This is a good start. I see how you get into your opponent's head already with the compliments.
Uh-huh. Right? This is
how you... Gotta butter you up first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You disarm them.
You save a shot. You're like, that was good, though. You almost got me. You know? You're like, oh, my God. I think we're friends.
I mean, there's a... I'm already... The worst thing about this interview right now, I'm already feeling that is that I can't talk to you for 4 hours, right? So we have a limited amount of time, but let's start with the pressing news, the important stuff, especially with the NWSL and you know, your involvement in the Washington Spirit. You are now an investor and owner with the Washington Spirit. We just had Trinity Rodman on the Washington Spirit. They're making a lot of moves. There's a lot of excitement going into this NWSL season. How are you feeling about the project right now?
I'm really excited, and I'm just honored to be a part of this group. You know, Steve, the current lead owner, has really done some amazing things with the team since he started, you know, taking the helm in 2019. And I was really excited about what he'd been able to do. And then when he approached me and my wife, Chris Azizos, about becoming investors with the investor group, I mean, we were thrilled. We were excited. We were happy to become the first ones in the group. And so that's really awesome. And for me, it's just really, really, you know, the next level, the next stage of my, you know, my contribution to the game. You know, I played as a player and then I was a coach and now I'm an investor and I really am excited to see where
Hall
this
of Famer
next level.
Well,
yeah,
know,
that too. I did a little bit of that. You know, just excited to see where the next level takes me, and I'm really pumped about it, and we'll see where it goes.
I mean, you're just another example of I don't know the rocket ship like, you know, sort of growth of women's soccer, or at least the NWSL in particular. Yeah. Over the last like 2 to 3 years, there's something to be said now where if you're not an investor or part owner of an NWSL team, are you even a celebrity? You know what I mean? Like, are you, you know, you can't claim to be, right?
It's a new standard, right?
It really is, right? You know, what do you think this bodes for the women's game in the U.S.? Because if people keep talking about in the women's game, oh, like the corner's been turned. I think it has. I think we've seen it now, and we're on the other side of it. What do you think is going to happen in the next few years? How big do you think this thing can continue to get?
I think it's going to get huge. I really do. And it really is the next evolution of the game. I mean, we're in our third iteration of a women's soccer league in this country, and it's already lasted 3 times longer than the 2 previous ones. And now we have a new type of investor, a new type of owner. You know, our team, you know, all these different investors involved with the Spirit. You have Angel City that has a similar profile with their investor / owner group. And so I really think that this is something that can really provide a new dynamic and a new structure to how you proceed. Not only are you, you know, providing funds as an investor, but you're also providing your expertise in the area in which you've succeeded for years. And so that's really an exciting difference, an exciting thing to bring to the table. And I think it's really going to elevate women's soccer as a whole, not only in this country, but around the world.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk especially simply about the getting into an ownership role, and clearly the level of influence you'll have on not only the business side, but the on the players themselves and what the league looks like going forward. You know, we know about, you know, the leagues that didn't work out early on, you know, a couple years ago, and seeing the success of NWSL, you sort of hear about the people that went through it, that are like, what are some of the differences that you saw that you want to make sure I don't want, you know, I don't want another player to deal with what I dealt with.
Right. Yeah, I think this time around, what you're going to see, especially now with this new structure, is you're going to see investors that are now, you know, putting skin in the game financially, but then also their expertise. For example, my wife, Chris Azizos, she's a CEO of a PR firm called Livewire Media Strategic Communications. She's been doing that for 23 years. So what she can bring to the group is, you know, an expertise in visibility and PR and communication for the Washington Spirit. And so that's something that didn't exist previously. I mean, all these different investors have their areas of expertise that they have already committed to, you know, injecting into this team. And so with the group of us, we can solve just about any issue or at least collaborate about it in a way that's never been done before. You know, and Angel City has a similar makeup. And so I think with that change and with all these cooks in the kitchen with different skill sets, you're going to be able to really provide some ingenuity and creativity to how you can grow a team from the grassroots and make it a stable part of the community.
This is what we need for Cooligans, right? We need to go out and get investors that were in PR or yes. someone who's very creative with accounting. You know what I mean? Really help us out.
Don't get crazy, guys. Don't get crazy. Gotta keep it above board.
Okay. We're about to get a Hall of Famer in trouble. Okay, yeah, be careful.
Again, we're talking about Cooligans. Washington Spirit stays on the up and up. We will take a couple risks, you know?
Understood.
Let's say we'll rush the attacker a little bit. You know what I mean? He was a goalkeeping. When you look at sort of what your role can be, you know, mentorship is obviously something that seems to be very important for you. Talk a little bit about what your hopes are there.
Yeah, I think one of the major roles I'll have is player experience. And basically what that means is, you know, the perception that a new player has of the club, of their ability to become a very good professional and their ability to not only provide to the community as a whole, but obviously on the pitch. I mean, let's all, you know, be honest. The pitch is the best and most obvious role of a player, you know, to play the game. But there's also other areas that make up an entire person, and whether they're happy in these other areas really does have an impact on how they play on the field. And so what I think I can provide is, you know, an understanding and an experience level of what it's like to be a professional, and to help the players understand that they are more than just a footballer. And so when you have these other areas that you have interest in, for example, players who have interest in cooking or education or, you know, community service, you know, maybe doing a nonprofit at some point, these are things that, you know, I can help them with in terms of understanding and the mindset of your contribution through soccer to the world, not just for yourself. And so it goes from an I kind of thing as an individual footballer to a we kind of thing. And that's the evolution of a player in the game anyway. And I think that's something that's always been important on the women's side in particular, and something that I can bring to the table other than the obvious, you know, goalkeeping tips and tricks, but just that there's more to it.
Well, yeah, we would hope you wouldn't keep that close to the vest. You know what I
mean? I might reveal a thing or two.
You're like, no, you're going to have to pay for the VIP masterclass if you want that. Like, you're the owner of the team.
I don't know when I'm going to get to talk to you again. So I have so many questions. I want to talk so much. I just wanted to talk. Obviously, the 99ers are, I mean, you are part of a group of women that, I mean, left a stamp on just world soccer, in my opinion. I mean, he legitimately, like, just changed the game. I know there was so much, you know, there's so much history there, so much drama. I mean, there's so many details that we probably do not know. But I do want to talk about one thing in particular. Obviously, the penalty stop against China in 99. An interesting thing that started happening fairly recently when they changed the penalty kick taking rules, you know, to make sure that players had to have a foot on the line. People started going back to this moment when you stopped a penalty, because when you look at this photo of you in goal, you are, I mean,
a little bit
you're
off.
You are like 5 inches away from the ball.
You're going through her pockets. You're like, oh, okay, you brought this.
I was
going to
smother that ball before she kicked it.
I mean, it was absolutely an incredible moment. It's just like, but people have been going back to it. I'm sure you've seen this online. How did you, look, the rules are the rules at the time. Yes. No one's saying anything. But yes. How did you feel of sort of like that irony, sort of seeing that brought back up now?
Yeah, it's interesting because people ask me that, haven't asked me lately, but they did ask me in the past, what do you think about that? And what I always say is, like you just said, that was the ruling at the time. I mean, if you recall, the referee is standing on that line watching me. And so the one referee is in charge of the kicker and the other one is in charge of the goalkeeper. And, you know, I came off the line. That's just how we trained it, because back then, it's what you did. And that rule was rarely enforced, if ever. And so, you know, we just went with what we could do. And so also the other rule that changed was taking off your shirt. Brandy took her shirt off, you know, after her goal. And now you get carded for that. And you didn't at the time. And so it's kind of like that. You know, it was the way it was at the time. The referee was right there the whole time and never once even warned me or said anything about it. So the thing I think people forget is that soccer, a lot of the laws of the game is referee's discretion. And so had the referee decided to say something to me, then I would have adjusted accordingly.
Yeah.
Why is there the rule of putting your foot on the line anyway? I mean, it's a difficult thing to stop a penalty as it is. They're just making it harder for the goalkeeper. Next thing, they're going to be like, all right, now turn around. You know? I mean, at what point, just let them kick it in the goal. I mean, at what point are we going to make this even?
I hope never, but yes, you're right. You know, close your eyes and turn around. And then when I blow the whistle, then you can move. And by the ball's back, right?
You have to run from the corner flag and try to stop the kick. It's ridiculous.
I think about it. Even with when that moment when Brandi Chastain obviously scores a goal, the winning penalty, winning the World Cup. Imagine like she gets the second yellow in that moment. You know, or you can't celebrate. You got to go to the back of the locker room.
Right. Yeah.
You get your award tomorrow.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that came out of that, and maybe you could correct if this is true, because I don't know if this is true or folklore. Apparently, your mother felt you weren't the focus of the award ceremony enough as the other players. And you were like, that's just mom being mom. Like, the goalkeepers very rarely are. Well, I have a mom like that. She wasn't allowed to come see me play baseball because she would just yell, "You're cheating," at anything that happened that I wasn't involved in, even if it was my own team. But talk a little bit about that moment.
Yeah, I mean, the moment for me was fantastic. You know, my job was to save one, and I did. And all the kickers' jobs was to make one, and they all did. And so it was just a matter of the order of things. I really honestly feel that my mom, no matter how much attention I got, it wouldn't have been enough because, you know, her baby's been working hard her whole life, right? And so also being a goalkeeper's mom, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the goalkeeper has the majority of the responsibility and the minority of the glory. And it's the reverse for a field player and for forwards in particular. They get the majority of the glory and least amount of responsibility. So, you know, I think my mom, you know, felt a certain way and, you know, she would stand by that if she were still with us. And I respect and appreciate that. I was just doing my part and I feel like, you know, the team got the amazing response. And in the long run, you know, we changed the world for women on that day. And so I really do feel honored and appreciate the fact that we were able to not only catapult our own team and women's soccer in this country, but women all over the world.
Yeah. And I'm sure there, I mean, I'm sure you hear comments all the time or just exactly how, you know, how you've inspired people and all these things. Like I remember details from reading the Caitlin Murray's book, The National Team, where I mention this all the time, but like there were great details about you being on the team bus and arriving to, like, you know, maybe even before the World Cup started, and seeing how many people were there, like where I think it was something where there was all this traffic and no one on the team understood why there was traffic, and then you're like, as you get closer to like Giant Stadium, you're like, oh, this is for us.
That's exactly right. I don't know if that's naivete or what that means, but that's exactly right. You know, we had that first game at Giant Stadium, and we had our police escort, and we had to drive on the shoulder to get to the stadium. And, you know, we arrived there two hours early before the game kickoff begins. And so the fact that there were so many cars, you know, in our route to get there, we were afraid we were going to be late. And so we were a little bit nervous about it. And then we realized that all these cars were for us. Now, granted, you know, Giant Stadium holds almost 80,000 people. And so we expected and we understood that we had virtually sold that stadium out. But I just don't think we understood what it would look like, you know, on how people would, you know, come to the stadium that early before us. And that was really just an amazing thing. And that really was a fantastic memory that I have as well, you know, waving to the fans as the bus went by and them waving back to us, and they were taking pictures of us and we were taking pictures of them. And it was really, really like kids in the candy store, you know, on both sides.
I will have you know, as someone who grew up in Newark, New Jersey, and at the time I would take Route 3 a lot to get into the city, they honor that moment by also causing traffic almost every day of the week, just to honor you guys, you know? And people drive on the shoulder and everything.
It's the ritual, yeah. It just shows how, like, such an incredible accomplishment, you know, selling out a stadium for women's soccer, and just what a moment of pride. That doesn't really take away the anxiety of traffic. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, oh no.
Move! You're here for me. You know?
We got a game to play. You gotta get ready. Yes.
You probably remember somebody from the traffic. Like, you know, they're talking about making this movie for Netflix, right? You should be like, put somebody in this kind of car that just won't move over.
No matter how many cops beep at them or flash their lights, they just wouldn't get out of the way.
Yeah.
Drivers.
Yeah, I was on the shoulder first. You know?
People, well, they were following us on the shoulder, right? You know that happened.
People leave the movie like, man, that was just such an inspiring film. But man, Brian really went nuts on that guy. I'm like, wow, that was an interesting part. I'm surprised they didn't cut that out of the movie.
Hall of Famer, World Cup winner, absolutely amazing. Top of the list of her accomplishments, though, she said during the commercial break, was being on our show, which I thought that was, what an honor.
Very, very sweet of her to say that. We couldn't get her to say it on camera, but
we don't want to make it hot for everyone else who comes on the show. One of the things that I love is sort of the conversation now that we are sort of a little bit removed from the 99ers. Who really are the best, right? Who are the all-time, people say all-time 11. I'm not going to make you do that. But Christian and I are interested in what would be your all-time five-a-side? If you had to field the five-a-side from your class, the class before, all the way through to today. And we're going to say, look, you can't pick yourself, okay? That's the one rule.
Fine. Right?
Because I would pick myself. But how about this? You can't put yourself in goal. So if you really want...
I definitely can't pick myself.
Put yourself up at striker. Let's see what you got. You know? But what would be your top five? And this has to be... Did you lose sleep? Because this is so tough.
Well, I couldn't pick myself. So, you know, I mean, a little bit of sleep loss there. But I would definitely have to say my all-time five would be, in goal, would be Hope Solo, clearly.
Okay.
I think she's a great choice there if I'm not choosing myself. So, you know, she's a solid player, always has been, you know, proven herself, winning Olympics and World Cup championships. So she would definitely be my goalkeeper. Christy Rampone, who was Captain America, you know, 300 plus caps, just an amazing leader player. Absolutely. And then I would definitely have to go with Kate Markgraf in the back as well, because since I'm a defensive player, you got to have two defenders at least on your five-a-side team.
Absolutely.
In the midfield, I would go with Michelle Akers. She's a fantastic leader, always was, just like one of the goats of the game, and still today, probably one of the best players to ever play, if not the best player. And then up top, of course, would be Mia Hamm. And, you know, Mia's Mia, and she is just an amazing person and player and just would be able to slice and dice that other team up. And then she, of course, would be a nice setup for Alex Morgan, who would be my fifth player up there, who's really come into her own and is just leading by example. And so that's my five.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I was wondering if you were going to bring in someone from the more modern era, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Alex is as modern as I'm going to get on that.
Yeah.
I picked them based on, you know, because if a player can be fantastic, but when the chips are up against it and it's really the biggest stage and the biggest moment, you know, those five players have proven their mettle and ability to get it done. And so that's how I chose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had Michelle Akers on the show and we put her through it. I mean, what a test.
We were a real gotcha journalist that day. But actually the one thing I learned about Michelle Akers is it wasn't an act. She really is like impervious to negativity. Like it just doesn't go in. She's like, whatever, this is the job that needs to get done. Let's just go do it. And I'm like, I'm not built that way. You know, I'm specifically designed to complain a lot and then do some of it. You know,
the harder the work for Michelle, the more she enjoys it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at our trophy cabinet, there are zero World Cup trophies. So that kind of explains.
That's because they don't want us to win.
There's no comic World Cup? Surely there's a comedian World
Let's,
Cup,
let's
you know?
Start a soccer comedy World Cup,
comic
and then we're
Olympics.
The only
ones in it. We have a Sunday League team of all comedians, so I think we might be the only in the world, if I'm not... I haven't heard of another one.
Yeah, but you'll see why we're the only one. There should be no other ones. Of all those choices you made, was there one that was really difficult? Is there someone that you're like, all right, can we get a bench? Because we need this person on the squad, but it couldn't make the five?
Oh, yeah, I mean... someone like Carly Lloyd, it was really tough to not put her in there because she has obviously proven herself, you know, in the 2015 World Cup scoring 3 goals in 15 minutes, one from literally 55 yards out. I mean, that's absolutely insane. That's someone who, when you really need it done, she'll do it for you. And then also Tiffany Milbritt, who, you know, a lot of people may not know about, but who, when it came, push came to shove, when she was on the pitch and you needed a goal, she was either going to make it or assist it. And where she was going to create it literally just by her ability to run at the other team and make things happen. And so those are two players that I would have on the bench, you know, in terms of forwards and attacking players. And maybe one other great defender that I didn't put on that list is Joy Fawcett. Who played with me in the back and was just a great leader on and off and was so good at positioning and so fast that she rarely had a slide tackle because she was just always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. As far as when you look now, are there any defenders that you feel like, oh, they could have rocked with us back then as well?
Yeah. Becky Sauerbrunn right now, who's, you know, just solid in the back and the captain right now for the team, is just seeing her evolution from when she first came in to the national team when I was still playing to where she is now, just somebody who's back there and she's basically like a lockdown cornerback, you know, in football. You know, you don't get a whole lot of positive outcomes the other team against her because she locks it down in her position. And so she's definitely someone who's come a long way.
All right, Becky Sauerbrunn, the Deion Sanders of the U.S. women's national.
The other defender's like, could you try against her? Because I feel like y'all focusing on me because Sauerbrunn is here.
All right, thank you again to Brianna Scurry for joining us.
Legend.
I mean, I'm literally losing my mind. I cannot believe I am talking to an absolute legend right now. We seriously appreciated it. We had a bunch of questions from fans that we don't have time for, but I just wanted to mention one very, very quickly. This is from a fan. He is a Spirit and DC United fan, Douglas Reyes-Cerrone. He just said, Is Brianna going to come hang out with us in Spirit Squadron and Rose Room Collective? Because, yeah, I know he's one of the founders of Rose Room Collective. So clearly wants your support, especially when fans are back in the stadium.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
On. Nice.
You bet.
Okay, good. We got the confirmation, Doug. All right. Brianna, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Yes, I mean, I have a lot of things going on, a lot of exciting things. I did a movie last year, a small role in a movie called High Expectations, which is coming out later this year or early next year. So folks want to see what I'm up to. There's a teen movie that Netflix is doing. Just go to my website, briscurry.com, briscurry.com, and you'll be able to find out exactly what's going on, dates and times for everything. And I would love folks to support me, and all my social media is on there as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, show support. I can't wait till the movie comes out. We're going to have to do like a watch along, or we're going to have to do something. Cause it's going to be
just Christian and I yelling, "We know her. We know her."
And it'd be true. It would actually be true. That's nice.
All right. So everybody else, also remember, follow us at Soccer Cooligans, follow at Fubo Sports on all social media platforms, and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program and a bunch of other great videos. Okay, Brianna, let us get our goal celebration GIF. So if you, obviously, I mean, goalkeepers are you know, maybe not always, they're not, you don't even necessarily want to be in the situation where they're sending the keeper up. But if you're there, you score a
or
goal.
Or Brandi Chastain is limping and they're like, "It's you." And you're like, "There's a lot of other." And they're like, "No, you got to get in here. You score the World Cup winner 99. What's your celebration?"
It would have to be airplane.
Woo! Yeah.
There you go.
Well done. Okay. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. This is absolutely nuts for us. Again, it's an absolute, absolute honor to be talking to Hall of Famer and absolute legend. And best of luck with the Washington Spirit going forward. I'm excited about this 2021 season. Okay. So let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Brianna Scurry, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cool!